Hello and welcome to the Spooky Chris podcast. My name is Chris Ringler, the aforementioned Spooky Chris, and this is my wee little podcast. Welcome! You can find all of my podcasts and my blogs and all kinds of ephemera at spookychris.com. That's my little shack in the woods online, which I think is fitting because the internet has become kind of a vast woodland of strange and mysterious creatures, and I'm but one of them. So, hey, what's going on? I wanted to talk this time about the idea of belief and its various incarnations. Belief is kind of a core human thing. The idea of it, and it's connected to faith. You know, belief, a lot of people will look at in a spiritual sense, in a religious sense, in a I believe in a higher power. I believe in something beyond myself. Belief is a powerful thing that way. It's one of those things, like I say, it's part and parcel to kind of like hope and all of the things that make, they kind of drive humans. We need hope. We need belief. We need faith. We need these things because they are against the dark, greater darkness of the unknown. They are candles that kind of keep us sane. If we focus too much on the unknown, on the unknowable, on the unfathomable, on the things we cannot change, you know, we start to kind of, it's basically your humans are tightrope walkers above a great canyon, and you're looking down suddenly and you see the how high up you are and how narrow the rope you're on is, and that gets very dangerous. We have to kind of exist in a space where we don't look down, as it were. And some people do. Some people, that's their thing. They're just like, psh, whatever. And they, you know, they want to just full on just take it on. And I get it. I get that idea. You know, we applaud that as kind of like, yeah, that's the macho thing. That's the bravado. That's, yeah, that's looking at the world and just spitting its face. And yeah, I mean, I get it. I get that mentality. But there's also with hope, that candle, it's something, you know, something beautiful, something kind, something, let's say fragile. And that fragility is what makes humans what we are. We are meant to expire. Something I am coming to terms with. Oh, well, no, I don't know if I am not coming. I am being forced to come to terms with more and more as I get older. The idea that we are meant for a good time, not a long time. And that, you know, we either face that fact more so in as it comes to those that we love, or we are doomed by that fact. And faith is, like I say, it's a candle against all of these things. Humans are full of terrible impulses and desires and madness. And we are want to do terrible things to one another for the sheer self-interest of it, for, you know, a million things we can't always, you know, even the perpetrator doesn't always understand. A slight done while they were a child that echoes long enough that 20 years down the road, that echo comes to them and all they hear of it is kill, you know, it's those kind of things. So when it comes to the idea of everyone is a believer, everyone has belief. You believe in something, even if your belief were to be in nothing, it is a belief. It's kind of like, I always laugh at being an atheist. I always laugh at the people that are like organized atheists, because there's a point where it's like, well, atheism is now your religion. It's supposed to be the absence of religion, but if you have all these clubs and meetings, and you're so, like, you basically are proselytizing atheism, and I just, rawr, down with Christianity and down with faith. It's, atheism is your religion, and so basically you're just kind of, you're kind of joined the party. You just think that you're too cool to be there. I don't know, it's silly. So we all have some kind of a faith. It's inherent in the human animal. Whatever it is, even if it's just a faith in yourself. Heck, you can have a faith in the fact that the infallibility of humans being fallible. Like, humans are just going to always screw things up, and that's my faith. I have faith in that. That's what I believe in. It's something, you know. Again, it's not the most pleasant thought, but it's valid. I can't say it's been proven wrong very often. And so then it's a matter of what your belief is, what your faith is. And I've talked about faith before, but it's, you know, what do you believe? And how it defines you, and how it influences your life. Belief is interesting, though, because you don't often have one belief. You have several. Mine are interesting because they're conflicting. I am an atheist, as I said, yet I believe in the supernatural, in the abstract. I don't know. It's one of those things where this is where you get into the heart of science versus reality, almost. Science says, you know, what we see, you know, what we see can measure, can quantify, et cetera, et cetera. It is real. But being that the human mind is a bit of a thing, it's a bit of a Pandora's box that we still don't fully understand, because there are so many processes that go on at the same time at different levels. So it rises above, to me, science. I would say to the supernatural, in that it is beyond our understanding of the natural, because we can process things so quickly, like so quickly, and computers can as well, but they are very, the difference is that is a very right now, I mean, with AI, we're trying, which is interesting. I should do a blog or a podcast about AI, because it's interesting that we're humans dissatisfied with themselves keep trying to remake themselves. I mean, and it is very Frankensteinian, in that, like, we're playing at God to try to make life, you know. Because we don't want AI to be, we don't want machines and AI and stuff to be it. We want them to be us. And in the roundabout way, it's so we can kind of stop being ourselves, so we can kind of have a cheat code to, like, not be us. But it's interesting that, like, we're not good enough for ourselves, so we want something else that's us. We're, like, creating an echo chamber. I don't know, whatever. Interesting. But, so with the mind, there are so many, so the difference between how a computer, you know, is a very clear, those are, generally speaking, very four-walled, like 1 + 1 = 2. Humans is a very straight path, as straight as it can get. Humans are a branch path at all times, because it's the answer. It is the answer as, like, weighed upon your experience. It is your experience weighed upon the experience of others you've experienced. It is, like, so many branching paths that all come together instantaneously. You know, if you're driving very fast, and you've been driving, you know, and you just started to drive a car, you're driving, well, you don't have to drive, but you're driving and you just started driving, just learn how to drive, and someone ahead of you slams on the brakes and you hit them, because you've never experienced that before. You're like, oh, whoa, what happened? But if someone has been driving for longer, you have the experience, you have that kind of that driving callus built up. And so that you can anticipate how the, you know, how someone is driving, that they may be kind of driving in a way that makes you want to back up a little, that you don't trust drivers in general. Like, there's a lot of things that line up that make it so that experience of yours influences you how you are driving. And all of this is so instantaneous. And we have a bit of sixth sense, and it's just a matter of those weird moments when all of our senses kind of like get into harmony, and it's like, whoa, something's off. Like, you just kind of feel something's off, whatever that means. I'm not saying that you're touched by the other side and it told you not to go to the grocery store because there's going to be trouble. You know, something. It doesn't have to be something drastic and dramatic. It can be something as simple as you just like, ooh, whoa, I gotta stop right now, like, what I'm doing, because if I go further than what I'm doing, I could, you know, harm myself. Something like that. It could be just as simple as that. Saying all of this, it's to say that being an atheist, I still do believe in the fact that there's gray area. And what does that mean? Do I believe in ghosts? And it's funny because it's like, I don't know. I have, like, my wife and I have audio proof. And we've had multiple instances where we have had this kind of same thing proved out. But what does it mean? Does it mean that there are ghosts among us? Does it mean that there are sentient dead? And I don't know. I don't, my heart says no, because again, I don't believe in an afterlife. But I don't think it's as simple as that. Could it be something very superhero world where it's multiverses, it's all of these realities on top of one another, and sometimes you reach areas that are it's worn away a little and that we bleed into one another? I don't know. That's where you get into such deep water that it's not even that you can't touch the bottom, it's that you can't imagine there's a bottom because it's so far down. And I just don't know. You know, the pragmatic side of me says that it's just parts of our mind tuning into old frequencies and old signals. Like as if a radio station, yeah, I mean, kind of like, you know, when you hear about were an alien species out deep in space, once in a while they could, if they, and it's funny because they talk about this stuff, it's like, oh, if they could tune in, they could get a radio broadcast from the 50s, you know, now. But it's just kind of like, well, that sounds great, but how would they tune in? That's me. Like, I don't know, you know, that's someone from the 1800s building something that can interface with an Apple computer today. I just don't know how that happens, you know, because an alien species, if they're flying around in space or whatever, and I'm not even going to say they're further ahead of us than we are in any way, they run on a different path and they're flying around in space and we're not. So how they would ever pick that up, I don't know. You know, there's the idea that math is universal, et cetera, et cetera, but and in the same way, perhaps if we came across a species that had hears like we do, which again, all these things, when we look at these things, is such a stretch to think that, oh, we'll have the same similar ability to, you know, reasoning and intellect and our senses, et cetera, et cetera. That's all such, you know, so huge leaps. I mean, it's all we can do. But there's a point where it becomes you going and speaking to a fish, because there's both of you have some manner of language. Like, somehow, even if the fish's language is rudimentary, in that it's like, No, yes, go away, hungry, you know, whatever. How we the two would meet and marry and get to you know, and when we have figured out how language and stuff, and we figured out how, you know, basic messaging and stuff with, you know, like we know what when animals are upset or your dog is upset or happy or this or that, so it can be figured out. But it's just, you know, there's so much that we are guessing at that I'm not going to be the guy that's going to say, oh yeah, no, ghosts don't exist. There's no proof ever. Or that ghosts exist. I have audio proof. It proves it. And that you just, if you heard it, you would never, ever question it. Part of what humans, what makes us humans, it's that belief system is all of that wrapped up is we doubt, we question, and we should. We're in a time of a political time, for goodness sake, where so many of us are looking for comfort and for answers and for someone to basically be our parent and to take our hand and say, oh, I got this. We go after the loudest voice. If it's like, I'll tell you who to hate, I'll tell you who they are, I'll tell you who to fight, I will protect you. And they don't show us how they'll protect us. They just tell us they will, and very loudly. Some of us are just like, yes, 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 yes. They're wrong, and then they wrap it up in the American flag, and they put a Bible in the hand, and they're like, oh, these things, these are our gods, and this I, obviously, since I'm wrapped in the flag and I'm holding the Bible, I clearly am communing with a higher power, so you have to listen to me because I have to be right. I mean, that's how this goes, and it's crazy, but here we are. In crazy land. So it's natural to doubt these things, and I certainly would never be the one to be like I say, I'm not going to be the guy that's like, oh yeah, no, ghosts are real. Do I think that people are catching ghosts on video and, like, you know, humans and floating orbs and this and that? Not really. I love that stuff. I much like I love cryptids, I don't believe Bigfoot is out there. Do I believe a species like Bigfoot existed? I think there's a good chance. I think there's a good chance, but as, you know, in what you're talking about, it would have had to survive eras where humans were hunting species in, you know, into extinction, you know, where we just couldn't stop ourselves. So I don't think it would have ever lived to see the modern era, but I think it's definitely possible something like that existed. Are there weird things on this planet still that we haven't found? Absolutely. Probably underwater. And it's just that we want them to be the Nessies and the Bigfoots and the, you know, like the Jersey Devils and the all of these cryptids that we've kind of like made into supernatural kind of movie kind of creatures. And we get disappointed when it's like, oh, it's a fish. Hey, it's another shark type from deep down. And so we kind of like talk ourselves out of being excited, but it's still exciting. We're discovering things on a planet we've been on for millions of years. That's pretty cool. But I'm not of the mind that there are the dead among us walking and stalking and doing dead things. But saying that, I go back to the fact that we have audio, my wife and I. And my wife and I, once upon a time, we're going to do a podcast, like a supernatural podcast that we are going to do. And we just never have. We've talked about it for years. And now that we have a kiddo, it's nearly impossible that we would be able to get away to do it. So I just, you know, there's a story I'm probably wrote about or something at some point. I don't know. But, you know, if I'm retelling it, then dig in, friend. So years ago, my wife, wrote for a college magazine when she was in school, and it was just September. It was just before Halloween, and she had gotten the permission to do a story about a local hotel. It was, you know, notoriously haunted, and it's, you know, very old, had rich history, and so we set it up. We went, and we got. It was cool because they don't do this now. They wouldn't do this now. So it was literally a different era. It was happened, oh, jeepers creepers, almost 20 years ago. Pretty close. So she, you know, we went and she had her camera and she had an audio recorder, and the manager walked us around the whole hotel and told us stories and showed us around, showed us everywhere, and like gave us this great background. It was an interesting place that, you know, had prostitutes that had, you know, been there, and had stories of, you know, just all kinds of, it had a history. We'll just say it had a history. As a lot of these kind of places did, because back in the day, you know, if there was money coming in, well, there's going to be alcohol, gambling, prostitution, all those things are kind of like the rats to the party. They're like, oh, hey, hey, somebody's got money, let's go. That means that's business. You know, business starts, those are the germs of business, and then business is built around everything else. So, you know, we did the tour and everything. It was great. And then the manager let us kind of walk around, the upper floors, for a little bit, just to take photos and just to kind of look around. Super cool. And it was just she and I, my wife and I. And so we wandered around, my wife's taking pictures and this and that. And she starts, getting a weird feeling. She's like, I don't feel comfortable. And I, when you hear this, I come off like a goofus. Cause I'm like, woo, I'm singing and just having a good old time. I'm being seriously a huge goofus. And my wife's like, I don't feel comfortable. I'm just like, okay, well, do you want to go? Like, she's like, yeah. And then she stops. No, I'm fine. And then she's like, yeah, I want to go. So, okay, cool. So she'd taken pictures. I'd taken pictures, got the audio and stuff. I was like, cool. Went downstairs, peaced out. And headed out. We was in, you know, near where I grew up. So we were heading out to see my folks. And as we're heading out, like I have the recorder and I go back and I'm listening and we're listening. And as we're listening, we hear a voice. Now we were on a higher floor that was empty except for us. Because there had been a fire at one point in the building, and this was one the floor that the fire had really taken kind of done the most damage. There really weren't any offices or anything. It was just kind of random storage that they'd never really fixed up. It wasn't dangerous, like, you know, it fallen apart, but it was not an area they had ever invested money in to fix up or do anything with, since it wasn't a hotel anymore. It was a restaurant. And so we both just like stopped, so what did we just hear? And you hear a young woman's voice mocking my wife as my wife's like, you know, I don't feel right. I want to go. And you hear that. I want to go. And it's in response to my wife. It's mocking her. And we were the only ones there. Now, could someone have planted a device that could hear us and that could, kind of catch and release kind of a thing, like a speaker or an audio device that could hear us and respond to us? I guess that's weird. Like, considering this was not a haunted attraction. They did not give tours. This was not us, like, at a haunted house that you paid money to, so it wouldn't be something they would have there. There was no one hiding up there. Could someone have heard us on the floor below and somehow been responding? Again, I guess. I don't know how, because this was a well-built building. This is, like, I don't know. It was very low, and I'm not going to play it, because maybe she and I will have our podcast someday. So I'm not going to. This is where you would put that audio in, and I'm not going to. And I'm sorry if that's a tease, but this is a podcast. This one is about belief and not about ghosts per se. So sorry. Take my word for it. And if you don't, I don't care. So those two things don't make sense. So could it have been a ghost? Well, that's also super weird. we'll put an asterisk there. So what is the other explanation? It stemmed from one of our minds. That's also super crazy. Super fascinating, but super crazy. Because that implies that we psychically projected that. And it came out as a weird girl's voice. So that's strange. And that's about as interesting as it would be if we caught a ghost, frankly. Either my wife, like a subconscious voice mocking herself, or me in a girl's voice mocking her somehow. Super weird. So you go back to the asterisk of the ghost. Well, oddly enough, we had caught, if not that same, and it'd be interesting to try to track all that stuff down and to run it in one of those, like Audacity or something, and to see if we can match if it's the same voice. It sounds like the same voice. We've caught it at least one other place at another haunted space. Because the thought was that my wife picked up a hitchhiker, as it were. Because she experienced stuff well after that. In the thought, and she'd been told that, is that she probably picked up a hitchhiker. We have a whole bunch of stuff we could talk about for, like, we had our house, our old house, investigated twice, and which is really interesting to see how they do the ghost investigations and stuff. But so I don't know. To this day, I don't know what it means. It's great. It's creepy. It gives you a chill because it's like, oh no, because it doesn't make sense. I don't know that I can say it's a ghost. I'm certainly not going to say it's not a ghost. I don't know what the crap it is. So what do I believe? Do I believe in ghosts? I don't know. And that's again, the cool thing is where you can kind of believe in something. I believe in science. I believe in all these things. But you get to a point where the road gets thin. And you have to trust in kind of a worn path that isn't paved yet. And that's where I'm at, is I don't know. We are very, again, pragmatic society. We don't believe in ghosts. We don't believe in anything. Though we believe in God, we believe in angels, believe in heaven and hell, blah, blah, blah. You know, we are, I say that we don't believe, but you know what? We are a species that struggles with, we don't want to think we die and it's over. We don't want to think that all of this went to nothing. You know, we want to think that everything, you know, basically we're paying into a bank that we cash out eventually, kind of like a retirement plan, like for our spirit and soul. And if that, you know, that's fine. Like I come with no mockery to that. Cause I certainly don't know. But that is something that, and we like to hold that faith and that religion and belief as a weapon to hold people back. Like, you don't have faith, so you're bad. Or your faith isn't like mine. You're bad. You're different. And that's the crummy part, is belief, while it strengthens us, while it builds us, while it gives us something to, you know, to hope for, to belief gives us something to believe, right, to hope for and to work for, to fight for. I believe in something bigger than myself, something, a cause. It also is a weapon. It's a cudgel. It's something that we use against one another. Our beliefs. You know, we go, ugh, that person over there doesn't believe the same as us. They're different. They're wrong. They're bad. You know, we can't just accept that we all have different beliefs, that we all have different faiths, we have different things that we, different ways we see the world. And everything kind of, like, it's like a, you know, kind of a spectrum. It's like, boop, boop, comes together and then goes apart again. It goes in and out all the time. We all, there are points where all humans see eye to eye on things. And there's, you know, and it's brief. Or, you know, in some people, it's a lot of things we see eye to eye. You know, and the commonality, you know, these commonalities are what should have, ages ago, united us. But we are a species driven by a million things, mainly a need to preserve and worship the self. And in that, we believe that others should serve and worship us. And we put ourselves on pedestals. Even when we hate ourselves, our hate for ourselves is better than any hate for anyone else or anyone's hate for us. We are still, even in our loathing, the most important person in our lives, because we loathe ourselves so much we're willing to kill ourselves. We don't want to kill anyone else, we want to kill ourselves. So it's this place of self-interest, and that has screwed us, and always will. Because if we could see past that and see the commonalities, And we always, you know, we think 9/11 or we think these things like, oh, if we saw aliens or something happened and we'd all unite. And it just, I just don't see it, because there's always going to be a Donald Trump. There's always going to be a Putin. There's always going to be these monsters who don't believe in anything but themselves. They are their God. They are everything. Even if it's, and again, even a lot of them through it is self-loathing. It's a, they believe so strongly in themselves because they don't think they're good enough. So they're going to force everyone to make them feel that they're good enough, to kind of quote love them. And they're always going to be those people. It's just like, you know, kids going to a concert and someone, one idiot decides that they see something on the internet like, oh, hey, gosh, that's a great idea. And they self-radicalize and they decide, I'm going to blow all these kids going to a concert to have fun. I'm going to blow them up. Why? Well, because these people I've never met have said that that's what needs to be done. We have to show them for our God over here. And to take down that whole system we don't believe in. We have to. We got to kill these people. They're infidels and blah, blah, blah. All these kids are doing is going and having a good time. They're not really in anybody's stuff. You don't have to agree with them or disagree. It's not. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But there's always going to be someone with a bomb. And that's, there's humanity at the core. There's always someone with a bomb. There's always someone with a lighter. There's always someone with a knife. And again, we could overcome this. We could overcome everything. But we just can't do it. We can't get past our tribalism and our, you know, our beliefs and our, you know, in American exceptionalism and, you know, this weird patriotism and this weird loathing for people different than us and blah, 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 this weird, this sick twisting of faith that used to be faith, you know, Christianity had been a very bright light for so many people in a place of comfort and joy. And then, you know, and it's always been abused. I mean, look back at the witch trials and all those kind of things where, you know, someone put themselves above everyone else and said, I judge, they are sinners, they should be dealt to death. Whereas, I mean, you know, you hear people say, you know, judge not lest you be judged them yourself. And like, that's for God to do. And, you know, it's one of those things. If God is omniscient, wouldn't God take care of this? Well, but we need to. Do you? Isn't your, like, wouldn't God, I don't know, whatever. It gets into weird soup. Because people are crazy. And they'll be like, well, I was told. Were you? Or did you just have a dream? What was God's dream? Well, I guess. You know, who knows? So it's weird. It's weird that faith is this battery that we all need. We all need it changed out and recharged and, like, you know, and belief hand in hand. We need them both. And again, I've talked about this before. We need both because they keep us going. You know, when we lose our job, when we lose our love, when we lose someone close to us to death, when we feel at our worst, we need that faith to, like, you know what? I can do this. I can keep going. It's good. Things are going to turn around. I mean, and it's sad because for, you know, in some, you know, in gamblers and addicts, it's that like, I got it the next time. It's fine. I'm going to get it the next time. I got it. You know, it's perverted in how it affects us. And so it comes down to us individually to kind of keep a check on our beliefs and our faiths and to kind of step back and say, you know, and look and say, is this, you know, belief and faith should empower you and should kind of lift you. It should, like I say, it should be a light against the unknown. And if it's a blowtorch or a flamethrower that you basically just direct back into the darkness at others, well, there's a problem. And that's where we're at culturally and socially right now in America, for sure, is that aspect of the, you know, it's like, nope, I'm not going to try to change the world for the good. I'm going to try to excise everyone I don't believe in or to silence them. Because, I mean, we could truly, I mean, you look at the things humanity has done. And we could do anything we put our minds to. We just won't. We'd rather kind of bring one another down or really just build temples to ourselves than make this whole thing work and better. You know, I have faith that those of us that want people, you know, the greater, all of us, to find their happiness and their bliss, I have faith, I have belief that we can keep winning the day. And, you know, basically just has to look at it one day at a time. We'll take a loss some days, and other days we'll take a win. And we just have to kind of pile up those wins, if you want to look at it like a sports analogy. And that's about all you can do. Because if you look down and you see that chasm, you see the horror, you see the terribleness of everything, without looking above and seeing the sky and seeing what is above us, what, you know, what we could be, you know, the sky is the limit. Then you kind of fall into this mire of, you know, disbelief, and that sets about kind of fear, and you can start being pulled in directions you don't necessarily mean to be pulled in. Ergo, the people that are radicalized for this or that, believing that they are the change, like, oh, I was chosen, I'm the one that's going to do this, and I'm going to change the world. And in small ways, they do. You know, a terrible person with a gun can change a lot of lives, but you know, they're nothing in the eyes of history. You know, murderers are still murderers. They're still monsters. The people that believe them and think they are of greater value and have some greatness to them are in the minority and are also looking for a direction that they don't have within themselves. And in the end, we just got to hope that we outnumber these folks. And that's something that's worth believing in, that we can fight them back. Friend, it's been great. Thanks, man. You can find all my blogs, all my movie reviews, and I have a whole lot of them. All of the links to my books, and I have a lot of those, and everything else at spookychris.com. You can find all that and more. I appreciate you coming along on the journey. Talk to you soon.